Hi, everyone, and welcome to Truth Over News. If you're active on Twitter or X, the chances are pretty good that out of nowhere, you've got nonsensical responses from the left accusing you of being a fascist, a Nazi, or a right-wing extremist. The idea that the left wants to use names in order to divide our nation into groups shouldn't be surprising to anyone. This use of identity politics has effectively been the left's primary platform for some time now. On a fundamental level, it's what Obama meant by his slogan, change. The more the left can divide us, the easier it is for them to win, pitting people against each other who actually have a lot more in common than they realize. It's a tried and true tactic from the Marxist playbook. Labels are easily applied, they are not so easily removed. But there's also a lot to be said for that old adage that the left accuses you of what they really are. We've always found it rather silly, although clearly rooted in deadly serious totalitarian intent, that the left likes to accuse members of the right of being Nazis or fascists. The origin of the use of the term likely extends back to populism politics that has been embraced by many on the right. Now, it's true that populism can sound scary. It conjures up visions of fascist-like political movements, and as we see every day, it is often portrayed exactly as such. And yet, populism is nothing of the kind. There is no populism ideology to speak of. Populism is, quite simply, the response of citizens to the failures of their leaders. By that rational and practical definition, many of us are populists. But that hasn't stopped the left from taking the term populism and extending it to nationalism, another dirty word in the leftist vocabulary. As in most things, we prefer to start with the simplest of definitions. Nationalism, in our view, is the desire of a nation to be self-determinate. Some claim that nationalism, taken to its extremes, can lead to militarism, xenophobia, and even fascism, which is partly why resurgent nationalism often sparks fears along with accusations of fascism. But nationalism, which can be combined with diverse political goals and ideologies, is not fascism. Think about it for a moment. Fascism employs an autocratic government, a dictatorial leader, and suppression of the individual. The state reigns supreme. While acknowledging the role of capitalism, fascist states typically nationalize important industries and businesses. Fascism goes to great lengths to elevate the nation above the individual. The rights of the individuals fall away before the power and might of the state. The hard truth is that fascism ultimately dances not with nationalism, but with communism. During the early days of Antifa's growth, Ben Shapiro was prevented from giving a speech at Berkeley. When he ultimately prevailed, Shapiro noted that fascism is the phenomenon whereby people believe that they have the capacity to ram their beliefs down your throat at the point of a gun, the point of a baton, or by throwing Molotov cocktails. That's what fascism truly is. Shapiro continued, "Fascism is more of a tactic than it is an ideology. It's sort of vague in terms of ideology. There are people on the left who are fascist, people like Stalin. And then you've had people who are on the European right, like Hitler, who was fascist, who was actually closer to the traditional American left than he would be to the traditional American right." Shapiro hits on two fundamental truths in his definition. Fascism is the implementation of beliefs by force, and unlike conventional belief, fascism is ultimately a left-wing ideology. It's true that many place fascism on the far right side of the political spectrum. But to those who believe such placement is appropriate, we would ask you a simple question. Please tell us, precisely, how does one proceed from conservatism to libertarianism to fascism? Unlike fascists, where the state reigns supreme, conservatives favor smaller government, lower taxes, less regulation, and greater freedom. The rights of the individual are elevated above the rights of various groups. It's why our Constitution is a charter of negative rights. Libertarians take this process a step further and push for complete individual freedom, as long as one refrains from taking actions that hurt anyone else. Anarchists go even further. Anyone can do anything, period. As the following admittedly simplistic chart illustrates, the extreme right ends not with fascism, but a complete absence of government, anarchy. It is the left that ends in communism and fascism. This is part of what's so hypocritical, ironic, and outright false in regards to groups like Antifa. They refer to themselves as anti-fascists. It's literally what comprises their name. They also refer to themselves as anarchists. But forget about their words and labels for a moment and think instead of what they actually do. Their goals are to attack any whom they view as holding views opposite to their own. If you don't share their views, they will attempt to push them upon you by force. If you fail to adopt their views or oppose them directly, they will attack you in groups. The primary tactic of Antifa is to impose their views upon others through the use of force. As Shapiro noted, fascism is the phenomenon whereby people believe that they have the capacity to ram their beliefs down your throat by throwing Molotov cocktails. And unlike a true anarchist, Antifa does not believe that anyone can do anything. Like we said earlier, the hard truth is that fascism ultimately dances with communism. In the middle section of the chart, as you might expect, there is still room for debate. But move too far in either direction, and debate quickly becomes impossible. Now, admittedly, this chart is oversimplified. It provides important visual points, but they comprise elements rather than capturing the whole. However, there is another chart that captures the American political spectrum in much greater detail and helps to highlight the many nuances and subtleties that add complexity to our political beliefs. This multidimensional viewing of our political spectrum moves away from linearity, allowing more accurate ideological identification and placement. With extremist labels being attached to people from all walks of life, it is important to understand where one's ideologies really exist and where they can lead. Possibilities are many, not simply to the right or the left. Of equal importance is to understand where the ideologies of others exist, no matter what labels they may choose to apply to themselves. It's important to note that a simple but crucial truth is illustrated in this chart. One can occupy a far-right ideological sphere, yet remain a great distance from the ideology of fascism. The chart also lends understanding to a basic premise. Communism and fascism each contain slight variants of the same evil. Both dance equally with National Socialism, and all three are totalitarian in nature. Three groups become so extreme, they merge within the same spectrum of hate and control. For the average citizen, there is no practical delineation between them. In the spaces that lie between the four points of this new chart are the political variants with which you may be very familiar. It's also worth noting that an individual once deemed middle of the road might now be seen as an extreme member of either party, which is a direct indication of just how far the narratives have degraded. Between the left wing and totalitarianism lies the socialists, who are moving up towards the Marxists, who in turn are making their way towards communism and fascism. Between the right wing and totalitarianism can be found the neoconservatives, or neocons, and their defense-based conglomerates. Traditionally, people often made the case that globalism and cartel capitalism, embodied by the European Union and big tech, could be placed here as well. That said, we feel that a pretty coherent argument can be made that these last two belong on the opposite side of the chart with their Marxist brethren. In the lower portions of the chart, we have classical liberals occupying the space between left-wing and anarchy, or true libertarianism. Utilitarianism, the maximization of actions that ensure the greatest good for the greatest number of people, is also generally viewed as falling into this space. Finally, in the space between right-wing and anarchy libertarianism lies what we know as the Freedom Caucus or the older Tea Party elements of the Republican Party, what we might term true conservatism. This new chart is far more expansive and flexible than our earlier linear representation. One can move freely about the inner parameters, and an infinite multitude of political spectrums can be expressed. However, two significant groups are worth highlighting. On the upper left quadrant, we have varying elements of Marxism. They believe in a welfare state and redistribution of wealth. They promote social justice and inhibit free speech through the application of political correctness. Marxists believe in higher taxes and engage in taxation to obtain goods and services from others using the government as a conduit. They are against free markets and believe the economy can be controlled through legislation and regulation. They elevate the group over the individual. They perceive international law as superior to national law. Social globalism through centralized government is a goal. They have managed to gain a strong foothold in the Democratic Party and are driving Democratic narratives. In the upper right quadrant, we have the neoconservatives, who have effectively been in charge of the Republican Party post-Reagan. Indeed, neocons are in part why Trump was elected. Neoconservatives range from right-wing moralists to fascists. Neocons are pro-interventionist and view America as the world's policeman. Surprising to many, the roots of neoconservatism trace back to liberal political leanings. The original neocons were moderate or hawkish Democrats who became disenchanted with socialist tendencies that were present in the Democratic Party. They engage in what is known as cartel capitalism or economic globalism. Neocons are pro-corporate America at the expense of small businesses. They've overseen the growth of centralized banking and dominant multinational corporations. Neocons are willing to sacrifice citizens' civil rights through increased governmental oversight, all in the name of safety. Globalism achieved through globalization is a primary goal. It's alarming that traditional Republicans and Democrats have both drifted towards totalitarianism and now reside primarily in the upper two quadrants of the chart. Note, too, the dangers of moralism captured within the chart along the central axis between left and right wing. Not personal morality, morality as decided by some and placed onto others. A moralist wants all others to abide by their moral code. Moralists don't necessarily want to control the lives of others, but they insist all others adhere to their moral code, even when they do so poorly themselves. Moralists maintain a clearly defined belief of what is right and what is wrong, and they codify that belief onto others. Morality's reach grows wider as one moves towards totalitarianism, then severs suddenly as all morality is lost. In this manner, morality is a tool to push conformity of belief and of action until it is no longer needed. Morality is not wholly comprised of political correctness and cultural Marxism, but all aspects of political correctness and cultural Marxism are guised as morality. It is the translation of Marxism from economic to cultural terms. In other words, political correctness and cultural Marxism are about political goals, and both are a pathway towards totalitarianism. We encourage you to use this chart, not only to place your own ideology, but as a means to identify the ideologies of various political figures and factions. Determine for yourself where they fall, and ignore any labels they may have given themselves. Let the accumulation of their actions, not their words, speak for themselves. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Truth Over News.